coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
That's five wins for the Bears now. They've won five out of their six games to start the season. They're in first place in the NFC North. They could have a better record than the Kansas City Chiefs when the day is over.
Yeah.
How about that? The Chiefs are losing.
Take that.
They are driving. We'll keep you posted on Monday afternoon football. Got Cardinals and Cowboys tonight on ESPN. And don't forget, in a week from tonight, we'll be in pregame mode.
Yes.
As the Bears will be on Monday Night Football. The first of two appearances on Monday Night Football, and we've got both of them coming up in the next 3-4 weeks. So we want you to participate, 332-3776. Your thoughts on the Bears. We've asked your emotion watching this team at 5-1. A lot of people still don't believe in them. A lot of people just look at the record and are looking for fun. And at 5-1, they're thrilled as can be, and they'll worry about tomorrow. So whatever's on your mind, we'll take your phone calls. Get into the Matt Nagy 3rd-and-2 debate here in just a minute. But I want to play you what Black put together. The Bears were in club dub once again after they went to 5-1, beating the Carolina Panthers.
Third and goal from the 9. Foles looking to the end zone. He throws, and the catch is made for a touchdown by the rookie out of Notre Dame. Reception of the season, his first score. Now the handoff to Davis, and the ball is knocked free. It's scooped up by the Bears. The second Carolina turnover as Davis had it knocked loose, and it's recovered by Akeem Hicks. Third down and 5. Pass is caught for a first down by Cordarrelle Patterson. New set of downs for the Chicago Bears. Catch is made by Darnell Mooney.
Don't look now. Nick Bosa's been on fire in this series.
Hands it off to Montgomery. Still going. And Montgomery will be marked down inside the 1. It's Foles on the sneak. He's in. Waving up. Bridgewater on first down. Foles is picked. With the interception to put an exclamation point on this game for the Chicago Bears.
So there you go, the highlights courtesy of Fox Sports. And Black put that together too with some Meek Mill, as that's what they were partying with in Club Dub. Nick Foles mentioned that too in his press conference.
I see thee back when you're done with it.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for letting me borrow it. A couple scratches on it. Did you
CD, right? A couple scratches on that CD.
Yeah. So, did you know that?
He's got the 6-changer CD in the trunk, by the way. You know, you load them up beforehand, and you spin through all 6.
I also have the hands-free phone device. Yeah. And a middle console the
phone
as well.
The bag phone?
Yes,
you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That's the radio edit version of the Meek Mill, right?
Yes, of course.
If you say so. Yeah.
Yes. All right, boys, let's go around the room. And then I want to take your calls, 332-3776. It's 3rd-and-2. They have 1 timeout left.
It's a minute 40 left in the
game. It's a minute 40 left. You pick up the first down, the game is over. If you don't pick up the first down and you run the football, you make them burn the timeout. If you at least complete a pass and you don't pick up the first down, you make them use their last timeout. So there's still a win even in a loss there if you do it a certain way. Do you like Matt Nagy, in his words, being aggressive and throwing the football to Allen Robinson?
I don't. I don't think this was a felonious mistake. Like, you don't go to football jail for this one.
But wasn't it 2 weeks in a row?
That's what I'm getting to. Because you're going to – I don't want to give that – the clock's going to stop. You know, they're going to use the timeout. Whether you run it or you throw it. And you don't get it, they're going to use the timeout. I would have rather them have to burn the timeout with a minute 40 left to go and force them to go the length of the field with a minute 40. Now – Like, I thought it was a more egregious mistake the week before when you gave Tom Brady well over a minute. And what they did, I thought, in that situation, I thought that was a much greater mistake by Matt last week against Tampa than this one. But I would have run the football. I would have preferred that they would have run the ball.
Boys, what do you think?
Well, here's the major mistake in the flaw with Matt Nagy's logic. There was a timeout on the board for the Panthers. So even if you don't have the ability to run for 2 yards to get the first down,
they're still going
to
call time.
You run a play that's on the ground, it starts the clock, yes. And then they have to burn that one timeout. Right. I get it. When the Panthers got the ball back, Bridgewater threw an interception, the game was over. It saved his butt.
He had a minute and 40 to work with, no timeouts.
Right, and to your point from last week with Tom Brady getting the football back, he's consistently giving the football back to teams, and I think the egregious error here is that it's not that it was an incomplete pass. It was a play that allowed the clock to be stopped and not burn that final timeout, and that to me is a major problem.
What about you, Eric?
Was that ball tipped, by the way? That's the one thing I thought Fox did a really poor job of yesterday.
Replays, yeah.
There were no good replays. Like, none. I couldn't tell if that ball was tipped.
The replay machine must have been broke.
Yeah. Or it was Allen. I mean, I'm going to, give Allen Robinson the benefit of the doubt 99 times out of 100. It looked like that ball may have been slapped away from him, but I would have liked to have seen a different angle.
When you have, he's just, in my opinion, he was trying to give the win away by giving them the ball back with a timeout. I get that he's trying to seal it with a 2 yard pass play, but run the ball, force them to use their timeouts, and trust your defense.
Like, I don't understand why passing is more aggressive, why it's more aggressive in his book than running. It's 3rd and 2, for goodness sakes. For 2 weeks, we sat there and we heard the excuses. Hey, we didn't run the ball these 2 weeks because the Colts and the Bucs were really good at run defense. The Carolina Panthers, I think, came into the game at like 29.
Giving up 5.3 yards per carry.
Against the run. You need 2 to gain. 2. Why is it more aggressive, the theory that we're throwing the ball? I think it's just more stupid. There's more losing that could happen in that play than lining up your guys against the 29th-rated run defense and winning a damn battle at 3rd and 2. It's not 3rd and 5. It's not 3rd and 6. It's 3rd and 2. When can you not challenge? Like, isn't it time to challenge your guys and say, guys, win a battle for us, win the game?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
I don't understand why Matt Nagy thinks it's more aggressive throwing the ball.
You allowed them to keep their timeout in their pocket, what you did.
And you were only thinking about negative. How about having your guys get a win and block someone and pick up 2 measly yards? You drafted this guy in the 3rd round.
And by the way, this approach didn't work the week before against Tampa.
Right, right. Tim in Shorewood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I just have a question about, the scheming. 2 years ago, we had Santa Slay. We had, all these trickeries. And last year when they asked the question why we aren't doing that, he said it's because we're not having fun. We do that when we're winning. We're 5-1 now, and we don't see none of that. It's time to let 9-inch Nick go and get some trickery going.
Yeah. 9-inch nails, I think.
Tim, you're asking for more trick plays. Is that what you're asking?
I'm just asking for more scheming, more, is this the same old stuff? That might open up the run game a little bit if we do some things like that. Maybe even bring Mitch in the backfield and use him as something.
Yeah. I love it.
Listen, at this point, I guess you try anything, but...
Santa's helper. Santa's little helper. Send Mitch in.
And what does that play entail?
It's a double quarterback play. You boot out. You lateral.
He's totally confused, confuses the defense.
And then Mitch just steps out of bounds.
Santa's little... And then he eats a cookie.
Yeah, he gets a little cookie. Yeah. Santa's a little helper. Cap will love that play. Think about it. Look in the mirror. How great would that play be? Wake up, get a cup of coffee, have a little Santa's little helper play going. Take that.
Have a cup of coffee and find a way to win a football.
Yeah, right.
Like Mitch could get the ball, pretend he's sipping a cup of coffee as he's standing back there.
Do you know when the quote-unquote trick plays work? It's when the other parts of your offense are actually effective. When you're not doing anything well, the trick plays don't really work.
Yeah, the knocking on the defensive door.
Right.
When you can't even run the football for 2 yards to clinch a game.
Right.
I think you've got other things you need to practice. George in Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, George.
I love Matt Nagy. I stick by his decision. I don't think it's as big a thing as Tom says. I mean, hey, did they lose the game? He has ultimate... You know, he has ultimate confidence in the defense to stop him with one timeout or no timeouts. They won the game. What's more important is the game coming up. If they can go into L.A. and take care of business, that is huge because that'll set the stage for the next four games. Matt is successful. He knows his players. You got to work with what you got, and that's what he does. Go Bears.
Yeah, I got whiplash right there from that call, but I appreciate it. What I said was, is I didn't think the mistake was felonious. It was not a football, a felonious right, football right. mistake. I thought the transgression, throwing the football when they did with Tom Brady, giving Tom Brady a minute and something left was a bigger mistake. I would have preferred them to run the football and force the Panthers to have to burn their final timeout. And look, an offensive-minded coach is not just doing something willy-nilly because he trusts his defense.
Right. Like how about the other way around?
Yeah.
How about you give the defense a damn break already?
Get your foot off your defense's throat.
Yeah, and instead of always putting the defense on the field to protect what you screwed up and having to protect the lead late or whatever, that you run the clock out with your offense because you execute something.
We're not going to play inefficient offense just because we have confidence in our defense.
Right. Both plays failed. Whatever. I know they won, but you still gave the ball back to Tom Brady with more time, I might add, and you had to give the ball back to Carolina.
You gave the ball back to Carolina with a minute and 40 and a timeout.
And that timeout. Now how about you just say, hey, defense, thank you this week. We're picking up a first down so you guys can enjoy your Gatorade on the bench.
That would be nice.
Wouldn't it?
That would be nice.
It'd be a change of pace.
Yeah.
332-3776 is our phone number. I want to see better results from the offense. They're getting the wins. And Matt Nagy's a good general head coach. But again, if this guy was just the head coach and he had a guy below him who was responsible for calling plays, we'd be all over the OC. It just so happens.
He'd be asking for him to be removed.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
It just so happens that the head coach is the OC. So that's why the shrapnel goes to the head coach, even though he's what now? 23 and.
It's good.
20, yeah, it's like 25 Listen, and 13. Is
they
what
have
he is.
Four games before the bye. So if they go against L.A., New Orleans, Tennessee, and Minnesota, only Minnesota is a team that you don't really have much fear of, but they've got some defensive players that can give you trouble. Maybe that's the point, that after the next four games, if you don't see what we can see is appreciable, significant improvement on offense, maybe that's when the real request for a different play caller will come.
I don't think it's going to happen till the
I don't either, but
yeah, if at all. But 312-332-3776. How are you feeling today? The Bears are 5-1.
Damn good.
And it's a club dub, and it's a victory Monday. More coming up.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
This culture here right now, I wish y'all could have been on the plane with us flying home last night, man. We were rocking and rolling, you know? It's like we're so fired up right now. It's a great feeling, and it's pretty cool.
There you go. They were in Club Dub on the plane as well.
We were rocking and rolling.
A lot of guys would like to be 5-1 today.
It's pretty cool.
He went very easy. He had to hold back in the postgame, too. I think after what he did last week, when he was like, this is the way you do it. I know this works. I've never been a part of this. He wanted to keep things positive. And I think he's like with the rocking and rolling and with the cool. I thought he went the extra mile to keep things positive.
It's pretty cool.
With that said, though, when you look at them this week versus the game against Tampa, it was comparable, wasn't it? Like, they scored 20 against Tampa. They scored 23 against Carolina. Tampa's a better defense, obviously, than Carolina.
Right, and you didn't fall behind again. You weren't chasing.
Yeah, you had 261 total yards. You were better on third down. You were 7 of 14 on third down. Kind of felt somewhat similar offensively, didn't it?
Yeah, but again, like, I think it just felt different because of the Tampa, you had to come from behind. It was a roller coaster of emotions. You were still in control of this game, even when it got frustrating.
Yes, but I'm taking when he went off on his offense last week.
Oh no, yeah, no, he's trying to dial it back after last week. I think he knows he went. He made it too much about the making it seem like he wasn't the issue.
Well, I'm just saying, like you did, the offense was comparable. You scored 23 against a Carolina defense that is pretty much middle of the pack. You scored 20 against a Tampa defense that is at the top of the food chain or close. It was kind of a comparable offensive performance.
Eric in Madison, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Eric? Eric dropped.
Okay, next cool. caller. Next caller.
We could go to Harry in Roselle. Hello, Harry.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good.
Yeah. All right. So I am so tired of the Bears running game because they only have one running back. Devontae had the Giants picked up a running back that scored has more yards than Montgomery. Derrick Henry in one run, I think, ran more than Montgomery did in 2 weeks. Who else do they have other than Montgomery?
I don't
nobody.
Think
nobody. They got Patterson.
They got Lamar Miller, I believe, that at some point may get some run. So your problem is, so Harry, your problem is with the running back.
Yeah, the Packers, they're missing receivers. What do? They put three running backs in their backfield, and they win that way. New England's got it. I mean, what happens if Montgomery gets hurt on the first play next week? What do we do?
You find somebody.
Throw the ball?
Well, I mean, don't you think that
55 times?
Harry, don't you think that it's been shown in the league, except for guys like Derek, what they've got going in
Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry in Tennessee, that you can plug and play guys if your blocking and scheme is right.
Look at what you see what the 49ers did last night? They run a heavy running attack. Mostert goes out. He's a powerful runner. They brought McKinnon in. He's more of a receiver on the edge type of back. My wife and I
for Montgomery.
Okay, my point is this, is what they ended up doing to support what Sylvie was saying was McKinnon wasn't working, so they moved him out. They brought in a guy who's a special teamer who played running back because he was a more forceful runner, and they went about their business with that guy. The Bears, I mean, the point is it's not the running back as much as it is the offensive line, Harry.
I agree with you there, but my point is, what happens?
Did we lose Harry?
I think Harry hung up on himself.
All right,
but he's being critical of the back, but then wants to know what are we going to do when that back I'm being critical of isn't available. Like, what the hell's the difference? If you don't like the back, put anybody in. I'm telling you that it's less about the back, in my opinion, and more about the offensive line's inability to open things up consistently.
How many people can seriously blame David Montgomery?
I don't know. It's
when there's some daylight, he runs hard. When he gets hit, he doesn't fall backwards.
He's a good receiver.
I'm at a loss there. I think Montgomery is a pretty good football player.
It's the line in the scheme.
Yeah, I mean, he's like so much further down the line for me in terms of culpability.
And no one's saying he's the best, but we don't think he's the issue. Rory in Elmhurst, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rory.
Bears. Hey, listen, on top of what you guys are saying, and Waddle, I really want your opinion on this. Back when I used to play football, we had a jumbo package, and you put in your meanest, baddest guys when it's third and two and you need to get the first down, and we put in guys like Akeem Hicks and the biggest, baddest defensive lineman. You put them on the offensive line, and you let them tear into those guys, and you get a first down every time. Does that not work in the NFL?
How about you just use your own offensive line and they create some space?
Well, clearly, player. They aren't mean enough. They aren't good enough to get third and two.
I don't know if asking Akeem to, you know, to come on in and play fullback or tight end is going to help that.
No,
case.
You put him on the line. He will drive the guy in front of him back 2 yards, I guarantee.
Are we asking Akeem Hicks to do enough?
Yeah. Like
Rory, aren't we asking him to do enough?
Yeah, okay, maybe not him, but how about like?
How about the offensive lineman? Ask the offensive lineman to create some space.
Get better linemen.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
there you Fair go. Enough. Fair. I'll hang up.
That's it, Rory.
I mean, like.
We should do a segment, hang up on yourself.
Can't you do, like, can't, it's like, you've got offensive linemen. If you want to run a jumbo package, you can do it with your own offensive linemen.
Yes.
Hey, guys, like, I got an idea. How about we get Miller in as quarterback there, and he'll pass it to himself.
Well, why is Spriggs even in uniform can't use him in the so-called jumbo package?
What is this? Is this Poke in Gurney? Do I have that right, Poke?
No, it's Prakash.
Prakash, how are you, Prakash?
I'm all right. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. I always listen to you when I come back.
Appreciate it.
So, I mean, I had the same question on the topic that you were already on, the running back and the whole line, right? So I'm not an expert on football. I started learning after I came over to the country. This is like, you know, when I see the running back and I see the San Francisco game, I cannot make it. The line cannot go make a hole. Running backs are not able to find, like, you know, space outside runs. It's pretty tough, right? I mean, this is again and again every week, right? Is it so hard to find a way out? I mean, is it just like line change? They didn't know that last year, and they didn't do anything about it. So I was just a little surprised on, like, you know, how we took the year into that line.
It's a really good point, because last year, they were really bad at running the football. And they thought that bringing in a different offensive line coach and signing Jermaine Ifedi was, I guess, miraculously going to turn them into a much better running football team.
It's the old Cubs trick where you blame Chili Davis. You know what I mean? They did hit with the Harry Hiestand what the Cubs did with Chili Davis. And it was going to solve things because it was the evil Harry Hiestand. We got Juan Castillo now. And even though we look at the line and we see a bunch of guys, we think maybe those guys are all of a sudden going to get better and maybe put a Fetty in there. No, it's not Castillo or Hiestand. It's not
Chili.
Personnel.
It's not Chili.
Yeah. Chili. Where is Ralph? I want to take Ralph. Ralph on the Kennedy. You're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Love listening to you, man. Every day I look forward to this drive home to hear you guys. So
thanks
for that. So, you know, here's the thing, Tommy, and you and the previous caller, stole some of my thunder here. This is no different, and I'm making the obvious here. The offensive line cannot run block. But so to answer the question that you were asking some of the callers a few minutes ago about, do you think it was a good call? No, absolutely not, for all the good reasons. You know, you want them to burn their last time out. But to me, that says it all on what the coach believes in his offensive line. He has no confidence in his offensive line to open holes. And the perfect example was what happened on the goal line drive. If it wasn't for the quarterback who barely got in with a quarterback sneak, they weren't going to score on the goal line because they couldn't block and make a hole for a running back to get through. That, to me, is the reason why, and I remember last year, and not necessarily you guys, everybody, we got to run the football more. You can't run the football when you can't block and you're three, or you're putting your quarterback in a third and long every time because the first two runs were for 1 yard and 2 yards. I mean, this is the problem. In my opinion, the coach knows he's got an offensive line, cannot run block, and he will dink and dunk all for the rest of the year, in my opinion, instead of running the ball 30 times.
Ralph, I just think that's when the coach needs to go in the GM's office during the offseason and say, get me some better linemen then. And if he didn't, then live with it and stick to the run. So I like that's why Pace has been under fire for me for a little bit.
Look at what the Rams did last night, okay? Jared Goff threw it 38 times. They ran it 19 times, but they ran it for 113 yards. They ran it for almost 6 yards per carry.
With Henderson.
Yes.
All right, Marky's in studio. He's watching his Bills, too. We'll see if he's distracted and what he thinks about this game. Monday afternoon football, Mark Gene Greco is coming up here in a couple minutes.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Mike in Schaumburg, you're on with Marky.
Yeah, I mean, first off, if Cap is your only choice as a mentor, just be fat. You're better off.
Thank you. That's the way I'm going.
It was so great. The end of the show on Friday was a memorable one.
I got so many tweets, so many text messages. It was awesome. And by the way, lost a pound over the weekend.
Did you really?
Yeah. Ate chicken breast, salmon, some cottage cheese.
Look
That's
at
it.
You.
Is cottage cheese actually good for
I love
weight
cottage
loss?
Cheese, but it has to be ice cold and the small curds.
It looks like there are certain things in life that make me want to vomit. One is mayonnaise, the other is cottage cheese.
Cottage cheese does not look good.
Makes me want to vomit.
I'm with you on the mayonnaise, especially Miracle Whip, whatever that is.
Yeah. I have it's a miracle.
Yeah, it is. It's a miracle you don't gag every time you just see the bottle.
Well, I loved it growing up. I don't eat it now, but I loved that growing up.
It was like mayonnaise with some weird thing in it. Like
I know, tangy.
Weird orange candy.
Weird. It's weird and tangy. No thanks. Keep it.
Hey, it's another victory Monday with no offensive line, no running game, no clock management, bad play calling. Hey! And the Rams, of course, certainly looked so beatable last night. We are jacked for next Monday night.
Hey, who's not beatable today? Who's not
Everybody's
beatable?
Everybody's beatable. Hey, how come you don't have the Bills game on?
It's halftime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Come on.
So you guys are, what
do you
is it,
see,
down
you
three?
See, Bills are down three, see, right? Do you want to see Josh Allen overthrowing his receivers again?
Yeah. Oh, God. Awful.
Well, the weather is not doesn't look conducive.
It's raining,
it's rainy
and it's
windy,
cold and windy, like
it's
everything
Buffalo
else.
In October.
Yeah, that's right. It's Buffalo-y.
You see that?
It's very Buffalo-y.
You see that poor little DB just bounce off Josh Allen, couldn't tackle him.
Yeah,
I mean the guy's a beast. He's Bobby Douglas for crying out loud. He's got a strong arm.
Listen, I don't feel great about this Bears offense, but the more you and the league will every week. I think now more than ever. Every week is almost like a season unto itself. Like, things can change drastically. But, like, this team is 5-1. You've got some chance, some time to try and get your offense right. But nobody in the East scares you. Packers are still better than you. I don't care what anybody says.
True. That was a bad
I mean, you beat the Bucs. So. I mean, if you can beat a good team in an ugly fashion like you did the Bucs.
So what you're saying is just bring every team down to their level.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Panthers, you beat the Panthers. The Saints, you're going to get a look at the Saints. They don't look great right now. The Seahawks play great offense and no defense. You're going to get a good look at the Rams.
That was such an ugly win against the Panthers. They closed down their facility today.
That's right.
They were so sick.
Yeah. Who, the Panthers?
Yeah, they did.
So there was a play. What was it? A special teams player?
A backup center, I think, tested positive.
Yeah, so we'll see if the Bears. Dan Weider was saying that maybe the Bears, you know, they have time. They have extra time, too.
Right.
But you got to be extra cautious now.
By the way, for all you old people out there and young people, I got a flu shot today, whooping cough shot, did an extra COVID test just for the heck of it. Just keep up with this stuff.
Yeah.
The mayor was on today. We've had another setback.
Yep.
I don't think everyone needs a whooping cough shot,
well,
but the flu shot is
because I'm
is
going to visit
advised.
My newly born grandson, hopefully,
yeah,
if I can travel. I drive, I don't fly, but still there might be travel restrictions. But if you want to see a little baby, you got to get the shot.
Wear a mask, you know.
Hands.
I was saying earlier in the show, Mark, our schools in our town have been now canceled again. So the kids are home. They're not going in person. Because people, and it's directly tied to parties. People have know people in this town where they go back and they go, it was because there was an unmasked 50 to 60 person party over the weekend.
Kids or adults?
Adults. All adults.
Wow.
And several of them unmasked and they were all hugging and stuff.
Because it's called COVID fatigue, where people are so tired of being quarantined. They're just loosening up and saying, the heck with it. You can't do it. You got to stick it out.
We're going to party when all of this is done.
Right.
Well, let's be patient until
then. Sylvie's going to e-learn those two young boys.
Jeez.
What I feel a rough bad night for them. What too. The heck are they going to learn?
It's really tough. Swear for a six words. And a four-year-old, I mean. You want to take some calls with us here, Mark?
Absolutely.
Ryan in Naperville, say hi to Mark Gene Greco.
Hey, what's up, Mark? How you doing, buddy?
Ryan, what's up?
Nothing. Hey, Sylvia, I love the comment about Chili Davis. That was the perfect comment to put out there.
Thank you, Ryan.
You're welcome. What I want to follow up with is that everybody, I'm an ex-football player, and I just say this on the air because everybody wants to sit here and hate on Montgomery. And a lot of times it does come down to the play calling, and it comes down to the conduciveness of the offense. I mean, we're putting a running back at 5 yards back. We're basically just handing the ball off to him with no steam going forward. I'm just sick of hearing everybody talking bad about this guy. I'm sick of hearing everybody talking bad about, you know, this. He's not the back for us. He's just somebody that maybe is just in the wrong system. That's all I'm saying. I mean, my point I'm trying to get at is that, you know, he might be good if we were running an I formation, if we were running a power I, you know, if you get the guys going downhill. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, you haven't heard us be overly critical of David Montgomery. I don't think he's got anywhere to run, anywhere.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's not the fastest guy in the world, but still starting with no momentum. That was a great call, I thought. But he still breaks tackles in that pile. He's still hard to get down. It's just he can't get a good start in that system. So true.
Is it Gorman in Mount Greenwood? You're on with Mark Gene Greco. Hey, Gorman.
Hey, fellas. How we doing tonight?
Good, man. I love Mount Greenwood. Man, I did a sports night there one night. I got home at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No, you didn't.
Yes,
that's
I did.
In a sports the morning.
I got
where
there
you,
at 5
what
p.m.
Were you in, Mark?
No, I was at. I forgot the parish. I was in a gym at a school, and it was sports night, and a bunch of guys, and we're drinking beers and eating dinner and telling stories. And I got. He said, "You got to be there at 5 p.m." I get
so
there
you
at 5.
Stay there till 5 a.m.?
I'm there till 5 a.m.
I'm not buying that. That's completely made up.
You want to call Pat McGann, the comedian? He was there with
5
me.
5 a.m.?
He was the MC. I was a special guest. And if anybody from Mount Greenwood were there, call in and verify.
That's
that
a long
for me.
That's a long event.
It's a long day.
Well, I left like 3:30, but I didn't get home till 5.
Okay.
But 3:30 still.
It's funny you should say that, Mark, because every year. The parish that I belong to, St. Christina, they have an AFC-NFC, the championship game that Sunday that it's played. They have both games in the basement there, and they do all kinds of raffles and that. And that's an all-day event.
Oh,
and,
see, that's how I grew up, man. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
So the reason I called was the second-round draft pick, they grabbed that corner.
Jalen Johnson.
Yes, and I thought it was a mistake. I thought they should have went after Ezra Cleveland from Boise, and I called in a few weeks back, maybe a month ago, and you guys told me no, they made the right move, and I still feel like, you know, that line is just, you know, going to be a problem for the rest of the year. So I just want to see if you guys still feel the same way, and I'll hang up and listen.
It's kind of hard to argue against Jalen Johnson, who is has been as good as any rookie corner in the league.
It's a premium position too, and you had to fill it. You know, with what Prince has done here for the last couple of years, the problem is the Bears just haven't had draft picks to fill all the holes they need.
Right.
And then who knows if Pace would even fill them? Bob in Rosemont, you're on with Marky. Hey, Bob.
Good afternoon to all of you. And Mark, congratulations on that weight loss.
Hey, thanks, man.
Great accomplishment.
Good. At this rate,
that pound that you lost.
I'll be down 20 in about a year and a half. Yeah.
You know, normally when I'm looking at a 5-1 team that I think now has finally gotten into a double digits in their overall point differential and still has no chance of beating the Seahawks, the Chiefs, or the Ravens, my normal tendency would be to kind of tamp down all this enthusiasm and pump the brakes on all this talk about how great this team is from some of the callers. However, I noticed that this is the first time that Nagy has had an opportunity to win a Sunday game after a Thursday night game and not overthink things to the extent that they came out flat and lost. So I think the fact that he's finally overcome that challenge for the first time in his administration as a head coach is something to point to as a big positive. Also, we did have a kicker who kicked a 55-yard field goal. And I think we've actually dealt with that phase of the game. So I think that's a big positive that I can't find anything to squawk about. So, you know, while I may be reserved in my enthusiasm about some of the other components of the game yesterday, I certainly point to those two things as hopefully signs of improvement. And as we go point by point, hopefully we can get some of these other things in line and at least have a season that's not going to be 8-8 at the end of the day.
Be average.
Boy, Bob,
on offense,
he brings
be average.
It, doesn't he?
Bob's
brings
a great
it
caller,
every time.
Yeah, one of
every
my favorites.
Time.
Yes.
Listen, I'm not asking for a lot. I haven't been asking for a lot all year. Just if you could find a way to be average on offense, you're going to win many more than
Don't
you lose with this
Don't throw on third
defense.
And two or third and three protecting a late lead.
So you didn't like that either?
I didn't like that either, and I was going back and forth with Dennis McKinnon. He didn't like it either. The only time you do that is if McKinnon's going across the middle. That'd be the only time.
I think with a timeout left in their pocket, you wanted to make them have to burn it. Like I thought, right. I thought the decision against the Bucks made less sense, especially with Brady, than it did with Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. And you had a full like in that game, you had a 2019 lead. All they had to do was get in inside 55 yards or right at 55 yards for their kicker, and he had more than a minute to go. Like in this game, you had a touchdown lead.
Just run it. Run it.
Like, I thought last Thursday's decision to throw it was a bigger mistake than this one, but I would have run it this time, too.
He can't help himself on that. He wants to run a lot of gimmicks, wants to throw it a lot. Once he stops being his own worst enemy, things are going to get much better.
Yeah, 332-3776 to talk to Mark. I want your thoughts on a couple of things, Mark, coming up next. The press conference involving Nick Foles after the game. Yeah, and how about a legend today announcing his retirement? I know you have something to say about
it's
that.
Crushing me.
We'll get to all of that with Mark next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Still have a lot of calls to get to, and I think Bleck and Abdallah, you guys are on coming up next, right, to continue?
Yes, sir.
To take all your phone calls?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll continue talking Bears till 8.
Marky, couple of things. Nick Foles' press conference, thumbs up?
Oh, my God, it was one of the best ever. I thought it was fantastic. Hey, Christian Rock, yeah. I thought it was great. I've never seen him that animated.
I thought it was good,
and
too.
I thought the best part was, I know that you know that we know. We know what we have to do. You got to stop yelling at us. We're going to get it right. And he's so cranked up about the music and the attitude and the whole Club Dub virtual celebration. I thought it was wonderful.
Would you rather lose pretty or win ugly?
Yeah.
Rather win ugly.
Absolutely. Me too.
So we're going to celebrate all the warts and the flaws and everything else and just move forward.
Bears. Yes.
But if for whatever reason, just know. For whatever reason, if they lose Monday night and the offense stinks, and for whatever reason the Rams, the defense has a hiccup, you know the whole like everyone's going to be like, "Oh, I told you so."
Rip them.
What are you laughing?
That's
at?
The way it goes.
What are you eating in there?
He's eating a banana.
Oh, that's what was dangling.
Stop it.
Eric thought the dangle was a cookie, and I said, no, cookies don't dangle like that, because when you're moving your hand, there's a little piece
hanging
off.
He's trying to be
off.
Healthy. He needs a little...
I thought it looked like a little piece of turkey.
No.
No, he's just trying
you
to be
You can only
good.
See that great entertainment on Twitch.
That's
ESPN
right.
1000
yeah.
in Chicago.
So I did it.
Little banana snack before the car ride home.
Just about that.
He's eating a peel now, which is bothering me.
And then, Mark, what about Doc Emmerich, one of the greatest ever, announcing his retirement? And, like, I grew to appreciate Doc because of the Blackhawks run, and he is so awesome.
This is not hyperbole. He's the greatest hockey voice of all time. I know people will dispute that. For me, he is the greatest play-by-play guy in hockey ever and one of the most iconic voices of any sport.
Great voice, great cadence.
Great cadence. The way he was such a wordsmith, and the way his cadence with Eddie, you were so comfortable as a viewer and a fan. and yet so excited still. And he would have, he was truly the greatest, kindest gentleman storyteller ever. And you had to witness him in the United Center press box. He was so respected and revered and adored that people were in awe of him when he'd get in line to get some food. And everybody would talk to him. He would talk to everyone. He was like the most unassuming rock star in our business. I described him on Twitter as he's the teacher that you loved most in high school. He was like the coolest nerd on earth. He was Mr. Rogers as a presidential speechwriter. Moreover, you would vote for him for mayor, congressman, senator, or governor. And, you know, during these times, it's great to see such a gentle, knowledgeable, truly wonderful man. And at 74, he went out on top.
On top.
Yeah. On top. So
good. It's so well said, Mark. I knew you would have good stuff about him.
And, you know, Bruce Miles jumped in and he said, in the baseball press boxes, the Sox and Cubs, people would line up. They have their picture taken with them. You know how we are in the business. You never ask for an autograph. You never ask for a picture. You're working.
He told us that was one of his. Isn't that what he said, Sylvie? He did a Pirates
Cubs game, right?
Yeah. Spring training game.
Yeah.
Paul in Naperville, you're on with Mark Jean Greco. Hey, Paulie.
Paulie dropped.
Okay.
No Paul.
Bye-bye, no Paul. Paul. Let's go to Brandon in Batavia. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Had a question, bigger thought on this. And I think Lewis Riddick had made the point on the show last week, but I really feel like the Bears need some receiving help. Maybe Ryan Pace needs to make some calls around the league heading into the trade deadline because, you know, everyone in the stadium knew who Nick Foles was going to on that third down play at the end of the game yesterday. And, you know, Darnell Mooney's made some splash plays, but, you know, he's a rookie mid-round pick. And then, you know, everybody was trumpeting Anthony Miller coming on a training camp that he was supposed to make some big jump this year. And he's been invisible for the last couple of games. So I really feel like the Bears need some receiving help.
I don't know. I'm all in on Darnell Mooney, that's for sure.
I think the Bears need some offensive line help.
O-line is where I was going. Yeah. Protection, everything else.
But they don't grow on trees, and maybe you can get a receiver for cheap.
Maybe, but, you know, Anthony Miller, the reason he's not getting a lot of looks is because he's so inconsistent. He can't be trusted. He'll make the spectacular catch
and then not run the right route. If you get to the end of this season and that's how you feel, you need to move on.
Yeah, yep.
Replacing. You know, if that's the way you feel, then move on at the end of the year.
Okay, I will. I'll let you know.
I know, Mark, you want to say hi to Greg Braggs. He's on hold.
Uh-oh.
He wants to talk to you.
Mr. Braggs, what's up, buddy?
What's up, boys? Happy Victory Monday.
You too. Yeah,
let's get it. No, I just thought I'd chime in on this. It's the same problem I feel like it's last year. In the system that Nagy wants to run, the offensive line cannot block it up. You know, whether it's because they prefer a power scheme over an RPO style or whatever, but they just got to get it figured out. Or, as I said, maybe make a couple replacements there on the left side, left guard or left tackle. They just got to block their assignments up, give Nick Foles a little more time to throw, give David Montgomery a few holes, and they could open things up a lot. I like what I've seen from Nick Foles so far. You see him looking at the second and third read options and stuff. I think that's what Matt Nagy's system is more conducive to what Nick Foles is as a quarterback. That's fine. And so it's like, just get this offensive line mess figured out. I don't know how they can do that. Maybe there's somebody on the street that can come in and help, but that's where I got my eyes on right now.
Yeah, well, you paid Charles Leno, and he's been terrible. So you got to work on that.
You paid Massey.
You paid
Whitehair.
Yeah, well, Whitehair is solid, I think. And, you know, Matt is calling plays for the players he wants, not
players
for the players
he has.
Okay. Yep.
That's always been that way.
Well, yeah. If you look at the system, you know, that's most attached to what they're trying to do, it's Kansas City, it's Philadelphia. Both teams have better offensive lines, and Kansas City certainly has better weapons. It's kind of hard to do the Kansas City thing here in Chicago without the Kansas City
players. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So hold on if you're still on hold. If you want to talk Bears, Bleck and Abdallah will continue to take your calls. We'll have much more as the week continues. And Bears Rams is always a showcase game.
Yeah. Real quick, you know what they showed during this Chiefs Bills game? Black and white photos of AFL meetings between the Chiefs and Bills. Oh, my God.
You found yourself highly aroused, didn't you?
Spectacular.
You can't make that motion because there's a camera right there.
Yeah, get Mark a towel.
I was just tucking my shirt in. Yeah. I'll see you.
And Waddle's just dangling a banana.
That's right.
All right, Marky, thank you.
He's already out of here.
Mark Gingreco brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Yes. Simply the best. LaSalle in the River. They're going to roll out the red carpet for you. They're going to keep you safe. They're going to cook you up a great steak. Awesome sides, appetizers, desserts, wine, dirty martini. You name it, they've got it. Check them out today at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Waddle, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Thank you to Black and Eric Ostrowski in today for Abdallah. They're next, Abdallah and Black. For Waddle and Marky, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
It's the classic!
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight?